Well, good morning, Village Church. My name is Jake Fox. I'm one of the elders here, and I get to continue our walk with 1 John. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 3 today, looking at verses 11 through 24. So I'm going to start us off today by reading the verses in its entirety, and then we're going to go back through and kind of dissect it verse by verse, okay? So starting in verse 11, it says, "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another, unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has the world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in the world, love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. This is how we will know that we belong in the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God. Receive whatever we ask from him, because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Now, this is his command, that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has commanded us. The one who keeps his commands remains in him, and he in him. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Holy Spirit." So a lot of talk on love through these verses. So I want to start you off with a question today of how does it look to truly love one another? I kind of title each little section of these verses with like a little bit of a title that kind of gives an idea of what we're going to be talking about. So how does it truly look to love one another is a overarching theme. But here in verse 11, I've kind of put love in action. For it said, "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, we should love one another." So I ask this to myself, which is, am I truly showing love to one another? Am I truly showing love to my brothers and sisters in Christ, to this world, to someone on the street? See, I can say I love my wife, but if I never spend time with her, if I'm never there for her when she needs me, can I honestly say that I'm living God's command? If I say that I love the church and the people in it, yet I'm never here, or if someone comes and asks me for help or a question, I brush them off because I'm too busy. Is that showing love to my neighbor? If I say that I love God, but I'm never in the Word, I'm never praying to, I'm not working on that relationship with him, am I showing God love? If I say I'm following God's commands, and yet I see someone who's not a Christian, who needs to know the gospel, and yet I choose not to speak to them in the hopes that another person comes by and does it for me because I'm too scared, it's awkward, I don't like talking to people, just to be honest. You know, it's a tough one. Am I not a hypocrite then in saying that I follow God's word, yet I do not do what God says? Am I showing love to these people? See, Jesus did not ask us to do something that he himself was not willing to do. If you follow with me real quick, we're going back to young John, as it was. John chapter 13. We're just going to look at verse 34. It says, I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. And you are also to love one another. This is what God's commanded us to do. Is to love one another. See, Jesus gave us the model of how to love our spouse with the way he loves the church, his bride. Jesus shows us how to love the people within this church with how he loved his disciples, spending time with them, being there for them, whether it was good or bad, pouring into them or calling them out on their own faults. Jesus showed love to them. Jesus shows love to the sinner, everyone here on this earth, by coming and dying on the cross. Jesus shows us by example of how to do that when I'm too scared to literally tell a friend what Jesus did. So I ask myself again, am I truly showing the love to one another that God asked me to do? Simple question, simple answer, no. I fall short of that every day. I wish I did. I wish I could be confident when talking to people. I wish I could show love to one another. I wish I wouldn't get so angry at other people. It's a hard realization to admit. However, church, we should not lose hope if we can't say we don't truly love one another. Because as we learn back in 1 John chapter 1, that we have a God that has lit the path for us, that guides us through this walk on here, on this earth. It is because of the death of Jesus that we are able to walk with him, not on our own. Jesus has paid that debt. He's paid our sin. But it is Jesus that has asked us to love one another. He's asked us because he first loved us. He has shown us love. And we are asked to show each other love. Now, this does not mean that we won't make mistakes on that walk. This does not mean we won't fall, but it is Jesus that's paid our debt that will stick out his hand and pick us back up. It is Jesus that will keep guiding us on that path that is lit by the Father. It's because of Jesus we are able to have this relationship with God. It's because of Jesus we are able to show love to one another because he showed it to us first. He showed us how. Now let's continue here in verse 12. We're going to get a good example of how not to love one another. We're going to reread 11 and go straight into 12 here. It says, for this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another, unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Now, if you're like me, it's been a while since I've been in Genesis. Kind of need a little refresher on the story of Cain and Abel. So if you can, go back to the beginning of your Bibles, and we're going to go to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read real quick verses 4 through 10. It says, and Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. And Cain was furious, and he looked despondent. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you furious, and why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It is its desire for you, but you must rule over it. Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while we're in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord came to Cain, "Where's your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's guardian?" Then he said, "What have you done? Your brother's blood cries out for me from the ground." See, Cain's disobedience and hatred boils down to pride. His brother Abel gave to God the best portions he had. Cain gave him what was left. This disobedience grew into a hatred because God was happy with what Abel gave, was not happy with what Cain gave. This hatred drove him to be miserable, as it says here in verse 5. 6 and 7, Cain refused the warning God gave him and chose to give in to sin. God warned him, but he chose to continue in it anyways. He was going to be mad at his brother. And eventually, Cain's sin of hatred led to the action of murder against his brother, of whom he hated. Verses 9 and 10, Cain tries to hide his sin. I don't know why. He should know from his parents that that doesn't work when they're in the Garden of Eden. They tried to hide as well, but God can see everything. You cannot hide from God. You see, church, we cannot fake loving one another. God sees right through it. He sees your heart. So don't let your own heart deceive you. Back here in 1 John chapter 3, we're going to look at 13 through 15, which I've kind of titled here, "Hatred Leads to Murder, and Murder Leads to Death." So it says here in 13, "Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." Do not be surprised that the world hates you. We have countless times and examples through the Bible where Christians are hated by other people. God himself was hated when he was here. I don't know why we would expect anything less. We live kind of in a world today where it is almost encouraged to hate on everything. Nothing is good enough. We're supposed to tolerate everything, but at the same time, we hate everything. It doesn't make any sense. There's not one of us that's safe from the world today of their hatred. And it's not much has changed. John was hated 2,000 years ago, just as Christians are still hated today. See, the world teaches us, while we're here, since this is all we've got, live it up. Live your best life. Do whatever you want while you're here, because in a blink of an eye, it's over and then it's done. There's nothing afterwards. It's easy to see why the world lives the way they do because of that. They've got nothing in their mind after this life. Why sin? Because it's fun to them. There's no consequences to them. They don't have anything afterwards. What they are telling you is to live your best life, while John is telling us the opposite. He's saying that the life that they tell us to live is a life of death. We are called to pass from death, the death of this world, that holds so tightly to each and every one of us, so that we can join God in eternal life. But we're also called to love one another. We're called to love the world that hates us. We have to live a life of love to this world, to our friends, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that requires more than us just saying, "Hey, I love you." Turn with me real quick to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 22 through 25 real quick. Verse says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away immediately, forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently unto the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not forgetful here, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in all that he does." So I ask you guys now, when you look in the mirror, who do you see? Do you see someone that when they stand at the mirror, they love God, they love their neighbor, they love the church, but when they walk away, they're a different person? When they walk away, they say they love the church, they say they love God, but their actions don't show it. If we do not love the world as we're asked to do, John says that we are considered a murderer, and that we know that a murderer does not have eternal life in them. We are considered to be just as bad as Cain if we can't love each other, if we can't love the world that hates us, that hates our God. But it's what we're called to do. Let's continue here in verse 16. This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Why should we lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters? Because Jesus didn't just lay down his life for you. He did not just lay down his life for the Christians. He laid down his life for that person in your life that you can't stand, that person that you hate, person that you wish you would never see again. God died also for them. And until we realize that, we hold hatred in our heart. God didn't die for the sinless. He died for the sinner. He's called us to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters as well. We are called to do it. We are called to mimic what Jesus did in his life here to the best that we can. We're not perfect. But at least we can try our best to show love to a world that hates us. Because that's what Jesus did. God didn't just say he loved his people sitting in heaven. He said, "I love you, but you're all destined for hell because of the way you guys are living." He could have. But no, he sent his son. He came down here. He lived with us. He interacted with us. He poured time into his disciples. He taught to those that needed to know his word. And he died for those people. The same people that he taught to, same people that he came to save, killed him. But he did it anyways. Church, we know how to love because he first loved us. He showed us how to do it. And as annoying as it is to show love to people that hate you, that's what we're asked to do. Continue with me here in 17 through 18. Actions speak louder than words. If anyone has the world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not live in word or speech, but in action and in truth. It's easy to say that we love each other in this church. It's easy. I love you guys. But at the same time, it's hard for me to show that. We get busy. Life gets tough. It can be easy for me to say, I will be praying for you in your situation. Yet it can be also so easy to break that promise because we get so busy that we forget. Or it's just empty words that we say to make that person feel better, and then we never do it. It can be easy to offer a promise to help those in need when their life is going good, but when it comes down to it, that they actually... need your help. We get too busy. We have an excuse. We start to put our priorities ahead of others. But John says, little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action or truth. It's not enough for just us to say that we love each other. We've got to show it. We've got to put action in there, and that will show the truth of those words. Verses 19 through 22. Ask you guys, where does your heart lie? This is how we will know that we belong to the truth, and we will reassure ourselves, our hearts, before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive whatever we ask from him, because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. If we live in God's truth, truly live in the truth, our actions will show it. And this will reassure our hearts with the Lord. It feels good to please God. We can't deny that. But at the same time, it feels so bad to disappoint him. There are times when we're walking with God, and yet it feels like our hearts condemn us. The guilt that we put on ourselves from either a past sin, current sin, can grow so much that we put limitations on what we believe God can't and can do. Our confidence is gone, and our faith is tested. But God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. We cannot base our relationship with God purely on how we feel in his presence. Wouldn't be fair to us. If we stood in front of God as a sinful person, I couldn't even look at him. I'd feel terrible. Don't know how I'm going to feel on that day. We'll see. But we're not perfect. And that's okay. There will be times that we will disappoint the Father, but that's okay. Because God is greater than our biggest mistake. God has given each and every one of us, not just here, but on everyone in this world, a path to him, and that's through Jesus. He did the hard part for us. All we got to do is listen and follow to what he's asked. If we keep his commands, church, and we have that growing relationship with God, then we should be able to stand in front of him confident in our faith. Our actions should show our love, and when we pray to God, we should be praying for stuff that glorifies him, and he will answer it. That's what John says. But how often do I have no faith when I'm praying? How often am I praying for selfish things or things I want? Not for God's will to be done, but for my will. It can be hard, but it's what we're called to do. And we do have help. Verses 23 through 24, a gift that only God could give. Now, this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. The one who keeps his commands remains in him, and he in him. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit that he has given us. He's not giving us two commands here. He's giving us one that feeds off of the other. He doesn't say, now this commands, his commands. He says with no S at the end, which means that if we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, then we will love one another. There's not an or there. It's going to happen. But we've got to truly love Jesus and live like we are called to do. If we truly love him, our actions will show it. Our actions will show it to this church, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and to this world. There is no way to truly love Jesus and live out his commands without living out his commands. If we truly love Jesus, we will live his commands. We can't say we truly love Jesus and do what we want to do. Can't say we truly love Jesus and we live by our own actions, our own walk. We don't let God guide us. Faith and love produce action. It's that simple. This brings me back to the first few verses of this chapter. It's showing your love in action. Jesus has shown us how to do this. And has given us a guide for each and every one of us to guide us through our walk and our faith here on earth. He has given us a part of himself in each and every one of us. God is guiding each one of us as long as we're willing to let him take the wheel and steer the ship. That's what the Holy Spirit, a gift that only God could give. We have the opportunity to be led by God himself as long as we're willing to give up our own desires, our own selfish, worldly sin, and just let him lead us. Church, we're not alone in this, and that should be comforting. It should bring us great comfort that God himself is within each and every one of us that say we're a believer. So I tell you now to go and do as he's commanded and be sent. Let us pray. God, we come today just Lord, we try to humble ourselves, just allow you just to lead each and every one of us, Lord. Allow you to guide each one of us, Lord. Allow the world not to take control of our lives, our own selfish desires, our own sinful selves. Lord, allow us not to just get in our own way. Lord, you have the path written. You have the path drawn. All we got to do is follow it. Allow us to be okay to be guided through this world by you. Allow us to put our pride aside and humble ourselves before you, Lord, but stand confident in our faith. Because Jesus will be standing with us in the end. Amen.